Do you know by experience what these people mean? In the real dark night of the soul, it is always 3 o'clock in the morning. Or this one. I had lived in a house of many rooms, but there had been a fire, and it was all charred, except for a small attic bedroom. Psalm 42 expresses what many souls feel, along with the two that I've just quoted, when they're down, when we are down, really down, when we're depressed. Psalm 42:5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" David felt despondency many times. But in another psalm, Psalm 34, he reveals that he experienced victory through every trouble. And this has been written down, it has been preserved by the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures for us, that we can have the same experience. Psalm 34, starting at verse 17, says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to them who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned." What is troubling your heart, if indeed there is something troubling your heart? What has you down? Do you know what to do when you are down? The Lord wants to show you what to do with Psalm 30. And that is what I want us to look at today, is the 30th Psalm. It expresses some of these same ideas that we've already read from the other two Psalms that I've shown you this morning. But here, we're going to go with David through all his thoughts in Psalm 30 and discover something wonderful. Starting at verses 1 through 3, this song that was used at the dedication of the house of David says this: "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit." David, with these words, is intense, but he is also full of belief. Well, look at those three verses again and see how he refers to God three times. He says, "Oh Lord, oh Lord my God," and then again, "Oh Lord." Look at how he believes, the full trust that he puts in God. "You have lifted me up," he says. "You healed me. You brought my soul up. You have kept me alive." Well, no wonder he cries out with God, or cries out to God with all the intensity that he can find in his soul. Because he had been down very low, symbolically as though he was down in the grave already, as though he were down in the pit. But God brought him up and saved him and healed him. Therefore, David lifts God up because God had lifted David up. The Lord picked David up when he was down, preventing his antagonists from rejoicing over his downfall. The Lord healed David when he was wounded by reviving his spirit. The Lord saved David when he was when he was practically in the grave, giving him life again. Should not David sing about this? He was not about to forget God, but he was quick to thank God and to praise him. And so he wrote down what we call the 30th Psalm. Watch now in verses 4 and 5 how he shows us that joy follows depression. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. He begins by saying, praise God for His holy name. Just remembering God's name for David brought good feelings into his soul. And so should it be for us, that just hearing the name of God brings joy into our souls. Even as we might remember the name of someone whom we love and cherish, that just hearing his or her name or saying it ourselves brings sweet memories into our hearts. David says God's anger is temporary. His favor is forever. If we suffer from God's anger, let us remember that it is only temporary. It does not last forever, although sometimes it might seem that way. God is slow to anger and swift to end it. Verse 5 shows that troubled hearts precede joyful hearts. Rarely are we depressed unendingly, though it seems long, even as suffering seems long during the night. But then comes the day. As humans, we bounce back and forth between illness and health, delay and fulfillment, sadness and happiness, lacking and abundance. If everything in life was always sweet, that would be harmful. On the other hand, if everything in life was always harmful, that would be destructive. And God knows that, and He makes a balance between the two, allowing us to get down at some times and then lifting us up at others. I encourage you, brethren, to remember the words that are found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, where here King Solomon, who had certainly experienced both in his life, both times of great sadness and times of great joy, where he tells us God's part in these things, and that God has a purpose in allowing life to go back and forth in this way. In verses 13 and 14, he said this, "Consider the work of God. For who can make straight what He has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find nothing that will come after him." God doesn't want me to put my faith in my prosperity. He doesn't want me to put my faith in tomorrow. He doesn't want me to think that every day is going to be bad either. What does He want from me? He wants me to trust Him. But if today is good and tomorrow is bad, He's still with me. He's the one who gives me what I need, not tomorrow. Tomorrow is not my Savior. Today is not my God. During those weepy nights, we are wilted flowers. Then our Lord Jesus restores us and refreshes us, and we see the light of day. If you want to know life and to be able to see all its brilliant display, Psalm 30 says, seek the Lord, but be patient. Seek the Lord patiently. Night seems forever, but how many nights have you and I seen? I mean, literally, days and nights. Nights of the Spirit seem forever, but how many have we seen? There always comes a day. Wait through the night, and the day shall surely come. Remember that during the night, toward the end, the day star appears. And the Scripture uses the day star as a symbol of Jesus. That during the dark night, when we just think that God doesn't see us, it's too dark, He doesn't know what's going on with me, He doesn't know how I'm suffering, and yet, it is often that towards the end, we see, oh yes, there He is. He has been there all along. He's been watching. He is the day star of my soul. Now watch what David says in verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 30 as he speaks about being troubled in his prosperity. Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by Your favor, You have made my mountain stand strong. You hid Your face, and I was troubled. Well, prosperity is dangerous because we are tempted to think that we shall never have problems. When we're in prosperity, we think that we shall never see adversity. When you're in adversity, it's obvious you've got problems. So there's not that temptation. But let us learn from David here the error of putting our trust in our prosperity and of seeing that our joy is rooted in our prosperity. That is, in outward conditions. What we are on the inside is different from what is happening to us on the outside, whether it's good or bad on the outside. God allowed David to suffer depression from sickness or something else that he might see that he cannot rely upon his prosperity or himself, but the Lord is our trust. That is what David finally saw. Hebrews chapter 12 uses an illustration that we practice with our children. And we see how it applies to our children. But the problem is, we don't want God, our Father, to use it with us, who are His children. But He uses it anyways, because He loves us. And He wants to steer us in the right direction, although sometimes that may be painful. So Hebrews 12, verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Think about it. Do we really want unmingled prosperity? I mean, to where it's always prosperous and there's never any challenges or difficulties in life. What would happen to us if life was like that? If God gave us everything we desire and never allowed us to suffer, would we truly mature and become skillful in life as we should? One time when I was really down and discouraged, a dear sweet sister in Klamath Falls gave me a saying. I don't know if she cut out of a bulletin or something that said that smooth seas never made a skillful sailor. And I thought to myself, well, you know what? I want to be a skillful sailor, so that means I'm going to have to go through some really rough seas. And even if we don't want to be skillful sailors, God wants us to be skillful sailors. So He's going to allow us to go through some rough seas. And out of our self-preservation, wanting to survive, we'll learn how to be those skillful sailors. We'll learn how to weather the storms of life. Do not the weepy nights countered by joyful mornings make us balanced people. Psalm 30, verse 7 shows reality that we stand strong as a mountain by the favor of the Lord. It's not because life has just been good to me or I've been good to myself. It's because the Lord has been good to me. Like David, though, trouble comes when we cannot see God's face. When David trusted in his prosperity, all that God had to do, he says, was hide his face. And that brought instant trouble to David's soul, although he had prosperity. God did not even have to strike David. He didn't even have to go after him. Just hide his face. Don't even look upon him favorably anymore. Don't do anything bad. Just hide his face from David. And David could see that his security and stability were not founded on his prosperity. They had to be founded on the Lord's grace. Therefore, those times in our lives when we think that God is hiding might be times when He wants us to think about something. And that's what He did with David here. Why is it that I have good in my life? Even if I think the good is few in number, why do I have that good? It's because God has favored me. And that's what He wants me to see. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to have things. But more than that, God wants to have us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And He wants us to feel the same way. Now take a look at verses 8 through 10, because David here is just saying, help me, God, so that I can praise You. I cried out to You, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise You? Will it declare Your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be my helper. How can God be praised when depression is at the point of death, he's saying? God, I want to praise You now. But it's hard for me to do when I'm down so low because all I'm doing is focusing on my problem. And I want to focus on You. Think with David. He argues that with him gone, who's going to praise God? Well, there are others, that's true. But their numbers are small. And even with David gone, just one man, well, that's one less person who's praising God. And that his absence will be felt. So he's saying, God, think about this. It's not time for me to go down to the pit yet. Please bring me up. And lift me up that I may praise You. We need as many people as possible praising God, David seems to be saying. And when misery enters your life, we should do therefore what he does. Pour out our souls to Him who can bring joy into our lives. If praising God is our motive, which is what David's motive is here in Psalm 30, God hears. Therefore, in verse 10, David begs for mercy and help. And I want to tell you something, brethren, or I want to ask you something. Is Psalm 30, verse 10, for David only? Was it only a personal experience No. Well, someone says, well, that's the Old Testament. Okay, I'll give you a New Testament verse that to me just sounds like the Hebrew writer read Psalm 30, verse 10, and the Spirit used him to say, hey, that needs to be in the New Testament too. In Hebrews chapter 4, there is a truth here, a wonderful truth, a promise made to Christians, to disciples of Christ, that sounds to me like Psalm 30 in verse 10. David took advantage of the promise. What about us? Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. When you are down low in life, when you're discouraged, when you can't be motivated, is that not a time of need? The Hebrew writer would say, go to the throne of grace. Don't be ashamed, don't be embarrassed, and don't doubt. Go there boldly. God loves you. You're His children. And He will hear what you have to say. And He will give you mercy and grace to help you endure this time of need. Does the Lord ever let us get down low to the point that we finally discover that nothing will lift us up until we finally fall on our knees and look up to heaven and seek His help? I think perhaps sometimes He does. And so here's how David ends this powerful psalm. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. What a powerful way to end this psalm. David says, God, you have turned my mourning into dancing, my sackcloth into gladness, my downtimes into times of joy. And so David's saying, how can I be silent at these turn of events? I'm not going to be silent. I'm going to speak and I'm going to write. David had experiences and he evidently liked to write them down. That's why at least 75 of the Psalms are from his pen. Not only does God want us to be happy, but He wants us to announce it to others when we finally do experience it. David wants to thank God forever, and God grants David's wish. How does He do it? We've got Psalm 30. God, I want to thank you forever, and I want to tell others about it. And evidently, God was happy with that request because we now have Psalm 30 in our Bibles. We can read of something that happened 3,000 years ago. Across the ocean, halfway around the world, a different language, a different culture, a different age. And here we are in Grants Pass, Oregon, reading of a time when a man that we've never met was down extremely low to the point where he thought he was going to die. And then God lifts him up and he says, God, I want to tell the world about this. And God says, okay. You know, the same thing happened with Job. Job had made requests of God that what he had to say, that it would be preserved. And God answered that request. And now the book of Job has been around for a long time for us all to read and see how low we can get in life, but that God is right there with us the whole time, holding our hands. He just wants us to look up to Him and continue to walk with Him. God cherishes the attitude of gratitude. God deserves eternal thanksgiving because He eternally blesses. The Lord Jesus has the words of eternal life. Not just the life of existence, but of real life. A life of abundance. Not abundance in the flesh, but abundance in the Spirit. What have you done about it? Brothers and sisters, and anyone who's visiting here with us this morning, I hope that you will open up the Scriptures and read them daily, meditating in them, not just reading, but soaking up the message and taking it into your soul and then letting it come out in how you live during the week. Can we help you do that? Can we have a Bible study with you? Can we pray for you? Can we do something to help you put into practice what David did here in Psalm 30? If we can pray for you, if you need to become a Christian this morning, if you need to be baptized, if there's something that we can help you with, please come forward right now as we stand and sing.